Running any business is tough. Yeah. You'll get a lot of complaints. Running a food business is very, very tough business. But then running a fresh food business without adding chemicals and preservatives is the toughest job in the world. For my parents, when I started going to college, they both decided to skip one meal every day, right? To educate me. We Indians don't trust a packaged food. Anything in a packaged form is considered as unhealthy.
Yeah.
We launched the product in the market, we were surprised. Nobody was willing to buy a packaged batter. We started sending 100 packets to market, 90 used to come back unsold. If we can create one of the largest fresh food business in the world, all of us can do wonders in the world.
Yeah.
But we all wait for tomorrow. My grandfather could never eat full meal in his life. I still feel that I should be able to feed him in the world hereafter.
Hi, this is Siddharth Ahluwalia and welcome to The Neon Show. Our guest was listed by Forbes India as one of the tycoons of tomorrow. Today, he's co-founder of India's biggest fresh foods company and one of the most inspiring entrepreneurs. It's my pleasure to welcome ID Fresh Foods PC Mustafa on The Neon Show. I would also like to thank our sponsors, Prime Venture Partners, for sponsoring The Neon Show. Hope you enjoy it. Mustafa, your journey has awe-inspired me, right? Your humble beginnings. And you always said, right, you had determination. But I think it was more than determination that helped ID reach to where it is. Like today, we would like to discuss that. Right?
Sure.
Your journey, ID's journey, lessons learned on the way. And your understanding of the, because you have been in this market for almost 18 years now.
Yes.
So your understanding of the entire food chain in the market, and you have, shared on various platforms that food is so special to you because, you know, in your early childhood, breakfast was the one thing that you craved for, but you could never had it because of your circumstances, right? I think. And sometimes I feel that, you know, the people God want to bless, and show the world as an example, they are the people that suffer in earlier lives the most, right? Because diamonds are created under pressure, right? There is no easy way to make a diamond, right? And you are among the very few diamonds from India that
thank you
stand on an international, like you gave a lecture in Harvard, which is so prestigious. The case study of ID is in Harvard today. I want to start, you know, your journey by what are the earliest memories of your childhood, maybe when you were 5, 6 years of age or 7 years old, that shaped Mustafa into what he is today?
I used to see my dad working, slogging for almost 12, 13 hours a day in a ginger farm and still trying to meet, trying to find it difficult to meet both ends of the family. That's a situation that, you know, I had faced during my early days.
And these are the memories as, because when we are 3 till 3, 4 years old, we are not able to recollect, right?
Yeah.
But once you are able to recall that, hey, this was 5 years old, this is the first impression that you have of your childhood.
Yeah. So the initial days, you know, I remember those were the situations. And when I was like 10, 11 years old, I did my first startup. And today's world is called startup.
Yeah.
Those days it was called survival.
Yeah. I remember the story very well, right? You used to go from your village to Wayanad, 14 kilometers.
So my village, from my village, place called Chennalod, to the nearest town, which is called Calcutta, which is the capital of fine art, is 14 kilometers away.
Yeah.
And there were no roads, there were no transportation facilities. So we had to walk.
Yeah.
And of course, I had to cross a river, you know, with the help of, boat. So all of them, the experience that I had.
And so there was also a river between you and the nearest town.
Yeah. And there was no bridge.
Yeah.
Right. So, to cross all the way. And then I used to borrow money from my uncle and go to the village, to the town, buy chocolates at a wholesale price, bring it back, and then set up a makeshift store during my summer holidays in my village. In front of my home, it was like a makeshift store made with my mom's sari and dad's bench.
Yeah.
And my mom also used to make lassi and some lime soda and stuff like that. Lime drinks, right?
Okay.
And then I used to sell that and make money. And that was my first successful enterprise. And of course, when I made profit, I returned the capital to my uncle.
And What was your background of your dad, like your dad, granddad?
So my both of them, my granddad migrated from, you know, I think from a place called Calicut, to the Wayanad, and then they started farming.
Okay.
And
farming for others, not for their own.
No,
farm.
So they started working for others.
Sure.
And then dad could not pursue his studies, and he started working in a farm.
Yeah.
And he was the eldest in the family, and he had to take care of his siblings. And his dad was, my grandfather was not very healthy.
Yeah.
So my dad had to slog and take care of the, you know, take care of his siblings. And that's my initial memory in my life. I still have, you know, that feel, right? You know, my grandfather could never eat, you know, a full meal in his life. I've seen him that happening, right? I still feel that I should be able to, you know, support him in the world hereafter, or feed him in the world hereafter.
And you believe in the concept of world,
yes,
hereafter, that, right? And so you feed a lot of, you know, people in poverty today. So you think that karma of yours is somehow able to
it is,
go to your granddad.
It's my responsibility. Right. It's my responsibility to do my duty.
Yeah.
And this is one such duty that I do.
Can you describe, one is, how was your home in the first 10 years of your life, if you remember?
So it was like a very, is it like a cottage?
Yeah.
Made with, you know, the, I don't know what it's called, hay, right? And it used to leak. So I still remember, during an Eid day, you know, we had a guest at home, and he had, he was well dressed.
Yeah.
With a white shirt and a white dhoti.
Yeah.
And it rained. It rained and then it leaked. And you know, when it leaks through the cottage, the hay, right? It's the black colored water comes out and his dress was completely spoiled. And he was angry at my dad when this happened. I felt very sorry for my dad at that day, because those are the memories in my life, right? But I know, the first thing that I did was, after getting a job, I built a decent home for my parents. We're probably the, what do you call, poorest in the village before I got a job. And then we sort of became one of the richest in the village after I got a job.
And you were the eldest among your siblings?
Yes.
So you also had, from the beginning, responsibility that, you know, I want to take care of my brothers and sisters.
I had, you know, that dream to ensure that my dad doesn't have to work for 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
And still struggle to meet both of the family. So I thought I should support him.
Yes.
And that's when I started working with him in a ginger farm.
At what age you started working?
Around 10, 11 years time. During my summer holidays.
Yeah.
I used to either do my, you know, makeshift store.
Yeah.
And make some money.
Yeah.
Or I used to work with him in a ginger farm. If it was like shorter period, I used to work with him.
Yeah.
My weekends and all, I used to work with him in the ginger farm. Mm. I used to get very, very small money, but I used to save that money. And with that money, some 150 rupees or so I saved, I bought a goat. And that was the first asset in the family, right? That became 2-3 goats. And then I sold all the three, four goats and bought a cow. And the cow became our regular income for the family. The milk from the cow became the regular income for the family.
And this happened in how many years?
This is what, 2-3 years?
Like 10. You were 10 or 11?
I was, 12, 13 that time.
Till 13, you got a cow.
Yeah, own cow and managed.
Yeah, that must have been a really proud moment to get the first asset for the family. And cow is very well revered in a village, right?
Yes, yes.
Somebody who has a cow
also
holds a stature in a village.
One is that. Second is, you know, we're able to eat 3 meals a day.
Okay.
Because
the milk from the cow
was regular income for the family.
And if you can describe, right, the memories of what were the meals that I believe your mom used to cook for the entire family.
So during those days, you know, I somehow felt I told this to my dad as well, right? He, you know, I know his income was very less, but they still not used to spend money.
Yeah.
They used to save money for, I know my sister was, sisters were at that time 10 years, yeah. You know, 9-10 years old, right? But then my dad used to save money for their wedding.
Yeah.
Instead of eating during those days. So the tapioca was one.
What is tapioca?
Tapioca is one such item that you get in the farm, right? That's one item that we used to eat. Sometimes rice, very limited. Or the subsidized wheat that you get from the ration shop.
Got it. And rice and wheat you had to purchase. Tapioca was usually from the farm.
Yeah. Wheat and rice, both we used to get a subsidized rate from the ration shop, right?
Got it. And you mentioned, right, that your father, you used to earn like 10 rupees a day when you used to work at farm. Your father used to earn 50 rupees.
Yeah. That was later in life. Initially, my dad used to earn like 10 rupees a day.
Okay. Your dad also used to get 10 rupees a day when you were like 9 or 10 years old?
No, my dad used to get 10 rupees a day. I never used to work during that time.
Yeah.
When my dad was getting 50 rupees at a later stage, I used to get around 10 rupees.
That is when you were 10 years.
Yeah. 10, 11 years old. Yeah.
10, 11. And all the male members of the family were also working at the farm?
No. So we used to do something else during that time to support our dad. Myself, my sisters and my mom used to go to the forest nearby, collect the wood and bring it back. And sell it in the village.
Okay.
And make some money out of it.
So that have been what? Hardly 1500 to 2000 rupees per month of family income.
Mm. Less than that, yeah.
And this is...
by the way, you don't get job every day even during those days, right?
At farm, there is no guarantee of the job.
For example, you know, when it rains, they don't work.
And you're not getting paid at all?
No, nothing. And during, that was a difficult time, right? Especially during the rainy season, you know, 3 meals was almost impossible.
So let's say out of the 365 days, I assume...
Half of the days during those days was heavy rains during those days in Wayanad. Half the time.
So there was, I can assume that there was no predictability that tomorrow the food on the table would be there or not.
And there would be in savings as well.
How is your village now, right? Has it improved?
Yes, it has. It is sort of developed now.
Okay.
With good roads, good school, with an indoor stadium, right? With nice homes.
So everybody has a pakka home now in your village?
Yes. Mostly, yes.
And I believe that ID would have played a large role.
A small role.
So now when you go to your village...
I won't say we have given someone money, but we were able to give... We were able to show some of the kids in the village, some of the smart boys in the village, a world outside the village. And they got the exposure. Some of them worked with the ID, some of them outside as well. And, you know, have been successful.
And is there an ID factory near the village or in the village?
We have factory only in 5 places, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Mumbai, Delhi, and Dubai.
Okay. And is there something in Wayanad that employs?
No, there is no employment generation happening in Wayanad, but we have many people from Wayanad in working with us in the sales team or in the factory.
Got it.
Or even in the corporate job.
Okay, and how many, if you remember right, how many families would be there in the village that you have?
I think my village would have around 300 to 400.
And I assume like
the best part about the village was even today, we're very, very well connected.
Yeah.
My dad knows every member in the village by name.
Okay.
I would know most of them. Right. We had a mosque, church, and a temple in the village.
Yeah.
Right. Well connected. We celebrated festivals together.
Yeah.
Walk into a place, to home, and, get a coffee. I have coffee together.
Okay.
And that's the kind of, irrespective of caste, religion. So that's the best part about the village life.
you have very fond memories also.
Even today.
Of your village. I think that the only thing that stung you, right, and that made you determined was that you might have gone bed hungry many times, right?
Yeah. So inspired by the village experience, we launched a campaign in different parts of India called Meet Your Neighbor. During the Independence Day time last year, in fact, we had done it like 2-3 times now.
Okay.
We said, invite your neighbors for a breakfast.
Yeah.
And ID will take care of the meals for you.
Okay.
We will serve ID foods free of cost to you. Only thing that you need to do is just invite them for the breakfast or meal.
Yeah.
And that was something which we executed well in ID and did try to do something good for the society.
Yeah.
And as a businessman, it was a good sampling exercise for
me. Yeah, agree. And once these housewives in, I assume, in villages were making dosas using ID batter, you would get a real-time feedback.
Yeah, no, they still don't get ID batter in the village. You know, we are very limited in our distribution network.
Okay.
We are there in 70 cities across various, parts, across like 6 countries.
Yeah.
But we are not there in Wayanad.
Okay.
Our products are not available in Wayanad.
Okay.
And there's a reason for it. In fact, we had tried it, but no, they still want to make batter at home.
Okay.
So we decided to withdraw the product from market.
Okay. So you tried that?
We tried, yeah.
I assume you had, you mentioned 400 families in the village, right? Out of them, 100 youth would have come up during your time and they would have been part of ID as employee in some way or another.
Yeah, 100 plus maybe, yeah.
Wow. So these are youth who, in other cases, because you fought so hard at every moment to come out of village, right?
I wouldn't take any credit for that. It is, their skill.
Yeah.
They were smarter than me.
Yeah.
The only thing was, I was lucky to come out of the village and see a world outside.
Yeah.
They didn't have the opportunity. And me and my cousins took up the challenge. When we started ID, we said, that is one of the most important reasons that we will venture into a business, which is to create employment for smart kids from the village.
Okay.
And to some extent, yes, we were able to show them a world outside.
When was your first hire that you did from your village?
Oh, our first hire, 2015, 2005 itself.
Okay.
5-6 time itself, the first hire was in the village.
Okay. And the first chance that you had to go out of village was your college, right? 11th, 12th.
Yeah, so I didn't know. I hadn't seen a world outside Wayanad.
Yeah.
Until my 11th. After completing my 10th, I went outside Wayanad. Outside Wayanad.
And which was this place where you went to?
I went to a place called Farooq College in Calicut.
Okay. And Calicut became your new home for 2 years almost.
Yes.
Did you come back to see your family often?
Yeah. Weekends and holidays used to come back.
It used to be what, 2-3 hours away from your home?
2.5 hours.
By bus?
By bus.
Yeah.
But by that time, even the, bus, there was a kacha road or mud road from the town to my village as well. So there was bus transportation at that time as well. So look at the case of my dad, right? Or my parents. He worked 12, 13 hours a day.
Yeah.
And tried to feed us. And then he saved some money to educate me. And when I started going to college, they both decided to skip one meal every day. Right? To educate me. So if my dad can take me to where I am today, all of us can do wonders in the world.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason that he is my role model. And the greatest inspiration in my life.
How far was your school? Can you describe your school like?
So in my village, there was a LP school and a UP school. LP is lower primary, upper primary, right? Until 7th. So the school was around close to 1 kilometer away from my place, walkable.
Okay. And it was.
I went to the school just 2 days ago.
Oh,
and did a photo shoot for Forbes.
Okay.
Same school.
So, you cleared your plus two at age of 17, I assume.
Yeah.
And then 4 years of engineering.
Yeah. Then I worked with Motorola India for one.
You started your first job at what? At age of 21?
21, yeah.
Okay. And
so then I worked with Motorola India.
Yeah.
And Manhattan says for 1.5 years.
Yeah.
Then of course, India and Ireland. And then I went to Saudi. After leaving Saudi 22 years, I got my first car.
Got it.
First cycle or car, vehicle, whatever you want to call it. First vehicle.
Got it. And by this time, by the time you went to Saudi and had you already built a home for your...
No, I did not build. So, I was working in Saudi. That time I decided
to build a home. Yeah. And how big was the new home that you built? Like, if you can describe.
It was a major upgrade from where we were.
No more leaky roofs.
No. So, it was a 5-bedroom.
Okay, nice. House,
concrete.
Okay.
Home. One of the best in the village at the time. Around 3,000 square feet.
Okay. And what's the current home that your parents live in?
A better home than that.
A better home. So, you have been...
Yeah, upgraded.
Upgraded to... And how big is the current home if you want to?
Around 7,000 square feet.
Okay.
Same village.
Same village.
But done in a modern way.
Okay. Nice. It's been an amazing journey, right? And what do you think kept you going, right? Determination is only just one thing, because you kept on pushing yourself for better, better, better. You could have easily settled in your job in Motorola, right? Worked in Saudi for a long period of time, right? Because it was such, you mentioned, right, that you, after some time, started getting like 1 lakh rupees of salary.
Hmm.
And this is what, back in 97?
Hmm.
That was a huge salary, back then. So why even?
My dad said it was my annual package, not my monthly package. Really? He couldn't believe.
And you were sending more than half of it back to your home.
Yeah. Almost all of it.
All of it.
So that's how I built my home.
So why did you even come back to India? Like, you could have gone on to... Like,
so I then moved to Dubai along with my boss.
Okay.
Right. Again with Citibank.
Yeah.
Was getting a decently good salary, almost a 3 lakh rupees salary a month. Very cushy job.
Yeah.
Right.
And you were what, 25, 26?
26.
26, yeah. Yeah.
And good, everything was going smooth. But then I was sort of getting bored. So I decided to come back to India with three objectives. One, I want to spend more time with my parents.
Which year when you did you come back to India?
20 years. 2003. Yeah.
So almost like after 6 years of...
6 years of my stint with...
Outside India.
Outside India, I decided to come back. I decided to come back with three objectives, and I was very, very, very clear about these three objectives. One, I wanted to spend more time with my parents.
Yeah.
So that's the reason I decided to come back to Bangalore.
Yeah.
I mean, if I go back to Wayanad, I will not get a job.
Yeah.
Right? So it is important for me to come back closer to home. So Bangalore was, of course, the first choice. Second, I had a good GATE score after my engineering. I was one of the top, maybe 100 rank holders in India for my MS studies, M.Tech. But my financial situation was not good enough at that time for me to pursue my higher studies. So I wanted to pursue my higher studies. That was the second reason. Third, and probably the most important thing, that I wanted to do something for my village.
Yeah.
As I mentioned earlier, I was very lucky to come out of the village and see a better world. There were many smarter kids in the village who was not lucky enough.
Yeah.
So I thought I should do something for them. And these are three reasons that I decided to come back to India. I did my MBA, FMIA in Bangalore.
That was 2005 to 2007 or 8?
2004 to 2007. Living in Bangalore was easier, closer to home. So I was able to spend more time with my parents. Either they're coming here or me going there.
Yeah.
And then, doing something for the village was the inspiration for me and my cousins to get into a business idea.
And your cousins are also from the same village?
Yes.
So how did they move to Bangalore?
So my cousin Nazar, the eldest in the family or in the group, ran away.
Okay. At what age?
I think he was around 15, 16 years old at that time.
He ran away and came to Bangalore.
He ran away and he was missing. Yeah. Completely. We were not able to trace him.
Yeah.
He ran away and came back, I think, after like a year or so.
Okay. And he was working in Bangalore.
He was working in Bangalore. In a tailor shop.
Okay.
No, in a textile shop as a sweeper. And that's how he started his journey. He is again a classic example of for determination.
Yeah.
Very, very strong, determined person.
And when you and your cousin decided to start ID, that's 2005, right?
It was the 5-6 time, yeah. 5-6 time.
First or second year of IIM Bangalore?
Yes.
So, what was your cousin doing at that point in time?
My cousins were running a small-time Kirana store in a place called Indiranagar in Bangalore. It was a very small setup.
Yeah.
And that's where this whole journey of ID started.
And you mentioned, right, at that point in time, they used to get the batter to sell to retail customers?
Yeah.
In small poly bags?
So there was of course we discussed various ideas. And one such idea was about idli dosa batter. The reason being, there was a batter supplier who was supplying batter in a plain pouch with a rubber band on the top.
Yeah.
You will still see in some part of, Malleshwaram in Bangalore or Matunga in Mumbai.
Yeah.
This batter had all sort of quality issues, service complaints and hygiene issues.
Yeah.
My cousins tried to fix the issue with this vendor multiple times. It didn't work out. And that's when we thought of solving it ourselves. And we had no idea about the food technology. We had no idea about making breakfast. We had no idea even eating breakfast.
Yeah.
And that's where the whole journey started.
And how do you make a batter?
Okay, I had no idea. Even today, by the way, my cousins are the best in doing all these things. I am just front-ending the discussions. Whatever ID is today is what they have created, not me. I am just one of the co-founder.
Yeah.
And all credit should go to them, not to me. Now, coming back on your question, when we started with very small setup. My cousin's retail store in Indiranagar had a small storage area out there. Of course, we cleaned it up and made it a 50 square feet area of a kitchen. What we had was 50,000 rupees. With that, we bought one grinder.
And you were the most educated, I think, among your cousins, right? You mentioned one of your
education
cousins.
Education has nothing to do with one, right? So it was a partnership firm we started. I was pursuing my MBA from IIM Bangalore that day. So this started with one grinder, one mixer, one sealing machine, one weighing scale, and a second-hand TVS scooty. All what we were 50,000 rupees, 50,000 rupees invested this money.
Yeah.
And we started making. And it took us almost 9-10 months to get the batter right.
Okay.
But once we had that war product, then we thought, yes, we have cracked it. We will make it successful. We launched the product in the market. We were surprised. Nobody was willing to buy a packaged batter. We started sending 100 packages to the market. 90 years to come back unsold. It took us almost 9 months after that for us to sell 100 packets of batter.
Which year was this?
2006.
So you were managing both your studies at IIM Bangalore.
Yeah.
And you used to come back in the evening?
I used to support my cousins on weekends and my holidays.
Okay.
And of course, I used to, whatever funding I had to do, and even the strategic discussions, the so-called strategic discussion, of course, we used to do. But otherwise, the operation was completely run by them.
Got it. 2000
for almost 3 years.
So 2000
until I completed my
till 2006, it was hard for you to sell even 100 batters in a day or in a month.
In a day, 100 kg in a day.
Yeah, 100 kg and from the same Indiranagar Kirana shop.
Yeah. No, we had 20 stores.
Okay, you had 20?
We were supplying 20 stores.
Okay.
And even 20 stores, we were not able to sell 100 packets.
And they used to return back all the unsold.
Mm.
But so at what point of time you started seeing the real demand come in? Just from the Bangalore all these
20? When we were able to sell 100 packets a day, that gave us a confidence.
Yeah. Which year? Same 2006?
2006, right? We started 2005 end. 2006 is this one. So 2006 and 2007 time is, I think, we got the confidence. And then we set up a small kitchen. We can't call it factory. I had some savings from my overseas job.
Yeah.
Invested that money and set up a small kitchen in a place called Sivi Ramanagar in Bangalore.
Yeah. Where there is stood Gopalan Mallis.
Yeah, out there, same road.
Okay. And what happened like after you set up that kitchen?
Then we were able to grow the business. We started recruiting more people and recruiting more stores and placing the product in the stores. And the product was a great product. In fact, that's my biggest asset, right? Our product is a hero. If you don't get the product, you don't even attempt to, sell it and build the brand. So the good thing about the product was it was a hero product. People who tried it loved it.
So tell me, right? Earlier in all these Kirana stores, rubber band batter was getting sold.
Very, very minimal. So the, the people were making batter at home. There was unbranded batter being sold in very minimal stores.
Okay. So there was not actually a market for batter.
No, this was a category creation exercise.
You created a category.
Yeah. It's a, I would say a category conversion exercise.
Yeah.
Because people, all of us used to make batter at home.
Yeah. So almost there was like zero competition because there was no category at all.
No. I think that's the biggest competition was the grinders at home.
Which one?
Grinders at home.
Grinders at home. Okay. And for example, for all South Indian households, right?
Yes.
Idli dosa are a daily thing.
Yes.
Right? So grinding batter at home would have been a daily exercise, which would have taken what, half an hour to 1 hour for each household?
It might take only half an hour to 45 minutes to complete, but then it takes one full day of mind share.
Okay.
Because you've got to start the process 24 hours before, right? You need to soak it properly, right? And grind, mix, ferment it properly, then make the batter next day, dosa or idli next day.
Got it. And you had that insight that the market doesn't exist right now for selling ready-made batter, but it will in future, right? What was that gave you conviction that there is no market here?
When we were able to sell 100 packets a day,
that
gave us confidence. And of course, we thought we can do this in 1,000 stores. And then we did put up a plan and a plant to create batter for 5,000 kg a day.
Okay.
And that was our dream at that time. 5,000 kg of batter in Bangalore, we thought, is possible. Today, by the way, we do almost 10x of that in Bangalore.
Okay.
That's a different story.
50,000 kgs in Bangalore.
So that's how the whole thing started. So coming back, there were many such stories, or many such category conversions which has happened in the past.
Yeah.
Let's take the case of atta.
Yeah.
During my childhood days, we used to get subsidized wheat from the ration shop.
Yeah.
My dad used to buy it and, bring it home.
Yeah.
It was dirty, right? And my mom used to clean it, wash.
Yeah.
And then dry it in the sunlight and then give it to me in a poly bag. And I then used to take it to Chakki Atta Mill, or sometimes she used to make it at home itself, right?
So you had a Chakki at home, the manual?
No, not Chakki. She had a manual, wheat, grinding system at home, right? So she used to, all manual. So she used to, make atta and then, store it in a container.
Yeah.
And whenever needed, she used to, use it, right? And used to make chapati. If I tell this story to my kids today, they will laugh at it. They won't believe.
How old are your kids?
I have three boys.
Okay.
Right? Two of them are in college already.
Okay.
One is in school. So the story I'm telling you is, this transition from a chakki atta mill to a packaged Ashirwad and Annapurnas of the world or Pillsbury's of the world was actually happening. So we were seeing with our eyes. That gave us the courage. And then you can actually see the same thing happening for other categories as well, right? Masala, for example. Yeah. Curd, for example.
Yeah.
Pickle. All of them are homemade. So homemade to packaged food conversion was slowly happening. That gave us the confidence.
And I assume there was, for a long period of time, there was nobody else in batter market.
Even today, I think there are no players.
Nobody else in the...
Very, very, very limited players, even today. But there's a large opportunity for people to get in.
And you think that currently you have reached the peak of the market in India? Or there's still market left?
No. Huge opportunity left. So if I do a simple math with you for a market like Bangalore, let me do a role play with you. Right? What's the Bangalore population?
I assume it will be like somewhere around 30 lakhs or 40 lakhs.
Bangalore population?
Yeah.
No. Bangalore population is 1.3 crores.
Okay.
In a 1.3 crore population, as per our study, almost 95% plus Bangaloreans eat idli dosa on a regular basis.
Yeah.
When I said regular basis, it's on average, it's 3 to 4 meals in a week.
Okay.
Is made of idli dosa batter. They could make idli, dosa, set dosa, masala dosa, paniyaram, uttapam, whatever, right? But this is the average consumption of batter at home. With a 1.3 crore population, 3 meals in a day with a 95% consumption, and every meal, you end up eating 3 idli or 3 dosa.
Yeah.
So, if you do the math, right, 1.3, 95% of that, assume 1.2, into 3 or 4 meals, into 3 idli, we're talking about almost 12 crore idli in a week.
Yeah.
Divided by 7, you're talking about close to 1.7 to 2 crore idli in a day.
Yeah.
2 crore idli in a day needs 1 million kg of batter. I do only 50,000 kg of batter even today in a market like Bangalore.
Okay.
So 95% of the market is still homemade. As per our study, almost 100% of the batter in B2B restaurants is made in the restaurants. They don't buy from outside. But whereas if you look at homemade, almost 80% of the batter consumption, they make at home.
Okay.
So I see a 5x opportunity in batter consumption at home itself.
Just in one city.
Just in one city, right? If you do same maths for Chennai, right? Numbers will almost remain the same.
Yeah.
Except one aspect. Instead of 3 meals in a week, they would do 5 meals a day.
Yeah.
Right? With idli and dosa.
Yeah.
That's the eating pattern.
Mustafa, you mentioned about, right, today, 50,000 kgs of ID batter gets consumed in Bangalore.
Hmm.
And there's a capacity for almost 10 lakh or 1 million.
Opportunity.
That is almost getting consumed.
Yes.
Right?
If you cannot imagine the size of the idli market.
Yeah.
1 million kg of batter is like 100 Asian elephants.
100?
Asian elephants.
Okay.
That's the weight of idli batter being consumed in a market in Bangalore every day.
It's almost the size of a football field, if I can imagine 100 Asian elephants occupying, right? What would it take to make them occupy? Because each elephant is what? 100 tons or something?
Such a large opportunity. In fact, I think probably the idli batter or dosa batter would be the most consumed food item in the world.
Why is that?
Because, tell me any other product being consumed to that level. Any other product.
I agree with you, right? It might be the most consumed breakfast item in the world, right? But I just want to see the reasoning. Why did it become so common?
I think it's the health aspects.
Yeah.
And the tradition. In traditional Indian food has had a history behind it, right?
Yeah.
There's a reason why idli is popular in south and chapati is popular in north, right? So similarly for every region. So probably that's the reason, you know, in a market like in a south, idli is so popular. Interestingly, people in north also now love idli and dosas. In fact, we were not very sure whether to launch our products in Delhi.
Okay.
For the initial 15 years of operation, we said, no, Delhi may not do well for us. So we decided not to. Just 2 years ago, just during COVID time, we decided to test the product in Delhi market by airlifting from Mumbai. You can imagine 1 kg of batter being airlifted from Mumbai to Delhi and the cost was over there, right? We said, let's go test it. And we were surprised, positive surprise with the market response. And then we decided to set up a factory in Delhi.
Okay.
And Delhi has become one of the most successful region for us now.
What are your areas, like regions of consumption among these 5 cities by numbers?
So the batter volume, if you
batter volume.
So the Bangalore is around 50. And Bangalore, I say Bangalore, near Bangalore. Chennai is around 15.
Yeah.
And then if you look at, you know, Hyderabad around 20, Mumbai that around 20, 25. And Delhi, we're almost there in 10.
Okay. And just in 2 years?
Yeah, less than 2 years.
And what are your insights on, you mentioned that you have almost zero preservatives?
Not almost.
Actually zero preservatives.
There is nothing called half pregnant.
Okay.
Right? It is zero chemicals, zero preservatives.
Okay. But how does the food last without
anything? It doesn't have to last, right? Why should it last? So when the whole world was busy doing R&D for product shelf life extension, we said we'll keep a product 100% natural, no chemicals, no preservatives, but sell it fresh.
So let's today you make the batter.
We reinvented a business model to sell fresh, which is zero inventory model. So I'll tell you how the whole thing works. We start the manufacturing process today. Product is packed, but it's not ready for consumption. It gets fermented. It has to be fermented overnight.
Yeah.
So by tomorrow morning, it's ready to be shipped to the market.
Packed and shipped.
It's already packed.
Okay, it's already packed.
It's already packed. So tomorrow morning, it gets shipped after fermentation.
Yeah.
So fermentation happens after packing.
Okay.
But in a controlled environment.
Yeah.
And from there, on a daily basis, the product goes to the market. So tomorrow morning, if you come to my factory, you will find zero stock.
Okay.
Literally zero stock. You will not see even one pack of batter left.
Yeah.
Because everything which is manufactured today and ready for shipping tomorrow morning will go to the market tomorrow.
Okay.
And then throughout the supply chain, whether it is my distribution center or my van or in stores, we try to maintain zero inventory.
Okay.
That's why we don't have a storage in our distribution center. We don't have a storage in distribution center. Everything comes from the factory. Tomorrow morning, let's say 4 in the morning, the product comes in.
Yeah.
We do a cross-docking
from
larger truck to smaller truck.
Yeah.
And the product goes to market. Interestingly, you know, we have a factory in Bangalore, but the products are available in Cochin and Trivandrum and Chennai, Mangalore, Mysore as fresh product. How is that possible? So we have inspiration out there. Inspiration is actually the ready-mix concrete.
Yeah.
Right? You know how that works, right? So if you look at the ready-mix concrete vehicle, they mix it, but the real mixing process happens during transit.
Yeah.
So we follow the same process at ID. So what we do is a product which has to be sold in, let's say, Cochin market tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Production process partially gets completed today.
Yeah.
And immediately after the process is completed, which is product is packed, we load it to a truck.
Yeah.
And we maintain a controlled fermentation process in the truck.
The temperature.
So the product gets fermented during transit.
Okay. What is the temperature that you have to maintain?
It depends. right? Depends on the weather. So close to around, usually it is 4 to 7 degree temperature. Okay. So by that time, the product reaches Cochin, it is properly fermented. So the instead of sending a product after fermentation,
yeah,
we send the product before fermentation.
Okay.
Two benefits. One, the product doesn't get spoiled. Second, we are able to sell fresh. And that's how the whole model is fine-tuned.
And for example, what is the life of the fermented product?
If you keep ID batter,
yeah,
outside the refrigerator, you'll get spoiled within 1 day.
Okay.
And that's the best test to see if product has a preservative or not.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You will actually witness a bomb blast. The packet will expand because the product will ferment. It forms gas, the packs expand. Beyond a point, packet will explode.
Okay.
It will explode like a bomb blast. You should actually do that trial yourself. Buy a batter,
yeah,
kg, 1 kg of batter, keep it outside, you will see the bomb blast. So that's the best test to see if the product has preservative or not. In our packaging, plus, you know, proper storage, will get you 7 day shelf life.
Let's say you refrigerate it immediately.
Yes.
As soon as you buy it.
Yes.
And in even in retail shops?
And during the supply chain, through the supply chain, you got to maintain the cold storage.
But today, a lot of mislabeling of food is happening, right?
Yes.
A lot of food is getting sold as healthy food.
Mm.
Maybe it's the thing, atta biscuits, maida-free biscuits, right? All this companies in cereals, American cereal companies, they are selling cereals labeled as healthy for kids, right? What's your view on it? And this is increasing day by day because Indian food habits are slowly getting westernized.
My take,
yeah,
is we Indians don't trust a packaged food. Anything in a packaged form is considered as unhealthy.
Yeah.
We buy packaged food by doing some compromise, knowing that it is not good for me and my family. We are here to make the change. Our role here is to fight a war against chemicals and preservatives in the food. And that's what we have been fighting for the last 15 years or 18 years. We are soon launching a campaign called Flip the Pack.
Okay.
Today, we only look at the claims on the front of the pack.
Yeah.
This healthy biscuit or, you know,
maida-free biscuit.
Healthiest noodles.
Yeah.
Right?
Tata noodles.
So that's the kind of claims that you look at.
Yeah.
But then we don't read the ingredients. If you read the ingredients, you won't buy the product. So the campaign that we're starting, in fact, a couple of companies have come together and we are launching this campaign called Flip the Pack. And we want to make it as a movement, is to read the ingredients before you buy anything. Because you are responsible for the health of your family. If you feed them wrong products, you will regret for your life. It's better to read the ingredients. Read the ingredients. So the campaign, the whole campaign itself is flip the pack, read the ingredients, then you decide to buy or not, including ID products. Our policy is that if an ingredient is something that our grandmothers cannot recognize,
yeah,
it cannot go into the food. So our theme itself is ID, it's food. Only food. There's nothing else in it.
And other thing, because of what is this, you know, the entire junk food, packet food, prevalence in Indian society is happening is the rise of diabetes cases.
Yeah.
Almost 1% in out of every 10% is the pre-diabetic or diabetic.
Yeah. And I heard Kerala is the diabetic capital of India.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's very surprising, right? How a nation that used to eat healthy food, fresh food, has been converted into a nation of diabetic people and obese people. And all happened in the last 15-20 years, starting with noodles that can be cooked in 2 minutes.
Hopefully we will reverse it.
Yeah.
And our role here is to bring back the traditional food.
and make it convenient for you to access it.
I think that's one of the reasons why you're not selling ready-made idlis, right?
Yeah, so the so we are not selling ready-made idli and dosa for reason.
Yeah.
What I have learned is a homemaker is the gatekeeper for the kitchen.
Yeah.
It can be he or she decides what to feed for the family.
Yeah.
Now, if I sell idli, he or she is not willing to accept this on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Because they feel the goodness of adding their value, adding their last touch. So we sell batter. They take the batter, customized to their taste. Somebody want fermented more, lesser fermented, all of them possible. They can customize. Add their ingredients on top of it. For example, my wife add onion in it, make it uthappam.
Yeah.
Add their love. Serve it hot for the family.
Yeah.
When the idli comes out soft, the credit goes to the homemaker.
Yeah.
Not to ID. And if for some reason, if dosa is not crispy enough,
yeah,
my wife can blame it on me, the brand ID.
Yeah.
So what we have learned is never ever take credit away from the homemaker. He or she is the gatekeeper for the kitchen. Never replace the role of a customer. Help them to do their job better. And that is the philosophy of ID. And that's the reason we don't sell idli, we sell idli batter.
So right now, ID has batter, ID has coffee.
Parathas, chapatis, paneer.
Five products.
Six, curd as well, yeah.
So, curd. Yeah. What are the other products that you are thinking of launching in the next 5 to 10 years?
So, our role here is to...
Coconut also.
Yeah. Our role here is to help consumers eat fresh and stay fresh. So, anything in a packaged form, if there's a fresh take on it, that's the area that we want to venture into.
Sure.
So there are many areas, right, where packaged food is not trusted, or packaged food, when it is a long life, it is not closer to homemade.
Yeah.
So that is something which we are looking at every aspects, right? Any packaged food you take, including noodles for a second, okay, for example, right? We will bring in a fresh take on it.
Okay.
So in fact, we've recently conducted a trial in UAE market,
okay,
and launched fresh noodles in the market.
Okay.
Just for a sake of it.
And what is the ingredient that they are made up of?
All natural ingredients. And none of the MSC blah 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 goes into that, yeah, right? And all natural ingredients we tested.
Without maida?
No, we have both. Okay. Maida as well as wheat. Okay. We tried both.
Is maida bad for health? Like there is a narrative, right, among the mass media that don't consume maida. Maida is bad for health.
So anything, overdose is bad for health,
yeah,
right? Forget about maida, right? Even if wheat, rice, there's a way that you should use, yeah, right? So I would say the same thing for maida as well. Maida, if you look at the maida available in the market, are made with lot of chemicals and preservatives and additives. In our parathas that we make, we use natural maida, which is made with we work with our vendor partners to make clean label maida. And we use that maida to make parathas. And same thing for the noodles as well that we tried.
Because if I can recall earlier, right, I'm 36 now and I belong to a small town called Meerut. When I was 6 or 10 years old, my grandfather used to go in a bakery shop and will, you know, get rusks made, biscuit made on order.
Hmm. So let me also tell you about the maida story, right? Let's see if you want to buy a cake.
Yeah.
Right. You wanted to buy cake, a 1 kg cake, and that has to be this big. That's your expectation.
Yeah.
You won't get that from 1 kg maida.
Yeah.
So what do we do? The cake
they add whatever is required to make that happen.
Yeah.
So you could set the aspiration clearly. If you want, if you make, let's say, cake from a clear label maida, your cake will be only this size.
Yeah.
But that, as a customer, you are you willing to accept?
Obviously, right? As customers, your image is a fluffy cake.
Yes. As a customer, you want large size fluffy cake and you want to pay for only 1 kg.
Yeah.
So, I think we ourselves are culprit to most of these things. At IIT, when we decided to launch parathas, which are made with maida and some of them are made with wheat as well, we decided to keep it clean. And out there, we have to spend more volume of ingredients. That's okay. That's the reason my products come with a premium. But we want to keep it clean.
What is the future of Indian food industry? That the way you think it's going?
I think fresh sells. Fresh is the future. We Indians don't trust a packaged food, right? The best reason to believe is the shelf life. If I give you batter with 2 year shelf life, you're not going to trust it.
Yeah.
But when I told you that you buy my batter, keep it outside and you will see bomb blast in one day, you will sort of trust it. Even then, it comes in a packaged form. Yeah. So, fresh sells. In India, I think fresh is the future.
And how do you build trust for a different kind of... So earlier, the packaged food came with 6 months, 12 months shelf life, right? Now, in next 10 years, how is this narrative shifting towards packaged food?
So, when the whole world is busy doing R&D for product shelf life extension, we are busy creating a zero inventory business model to sell fresh. I hope many companies venture into fresh business.
And you think as you become big, other companies are also following the same model?
I have seen many companies doing that already.
Like, for example?
Even those companies who are doing this, idli powder, right, for decades, has now started making fresh batter, which is good for the society, for the community. Let it happen. I'm happy that at least we...
It's a revolution.
Yeah, we start that.
Yeah. And in other categories, for example, let's say quick food, for idli still takes, like if I order a batter at home, it will take me a half an hour to make idli or a dosa, right? Are there any quick food items, let's say, that you are thinking that will happen in the next 10 years where a fresh food can be ordered in 10 minutes from companies like ID?
Yes, so there are a couple of products that we're working on. Like one item is like chutney, for example.
Okay.
For you to make chutney at home, it's a half an hour to 45 minute job. So we are now trying to crack a 10 minute chutney.
Okay.
We're not calling it 2 minute chutney, but probably a 10 minute chutney.
Okay. Mustafa, your main target audience started with the housemaker who is cooking the food for the house, right? And that was, I believe, the insight behind the batter and why you ship batter instead of idli. Now, coming to questions of food habits of Gen Z, right? Your kids are of that age. How the food habits of Gen Z is evolving?
So they would still love batter. If I take 3 generations, my mother, my wife, and my kids, right? These 3 generations. My mother still make batter at home.
Okay.
I've been trying for the last 15 years.
You have not been able to convince her.
I've not been able to successful. I've not been successful for her to buy ID batter.
Okay.
My wife knows how to make batter at home.
Okay.
But she feels it's a waste of her time to make batter at home. She would rather buy ID batter and, serve the, idli and dosa to the family. And she enjoys doing that.
Yeah.
Whereas my kids will not know how to make batter at home.
Okay.
But they will still love idli and dosa.
Yeah.
So, future looks very promising to a brand like ID with Gen Z.
And let's say this ID is one part of the equation of the entire food ecosystem that Gen Z is consuming. What are the other observations you have from the consumption in Gen Z on the food aspect?
Very health conscious one.
Even the 18-year-old?
Yeah, so they've at least started thinking about now from a health aspect, right?
If you remember, right?
Yeah.
McD and all these Domino's came back in India 15 years ago.
Yeah, so by the way, they still eat those junk food. I'm not saying that they will not. But at least, your claims of healthy food
yeah.
is something which is easier for you to communicate with them.
Yeah.
Right? And second, it's easier for me to communicate to them now
yeah.
because I know they are on OTT.
Yeah.
Right? So my communication goes to them through OTT.
Yes.
So it's easier for me to communicate. So those are the benefits that I see with Gen Z.
And how is technology playing a role in the food habits of today's generation?
So ID runs on IT.
Okay.
And that's a fact. Look at the case of ID. Almost 40,000 outlets with around 10 products being visited every day, and every transaction has got a placement, a replenishment, a stock rotation, cash collection, invoice writing, and settlement. You can imagine that complications yeah. that comes in. So you cannot build or you cannot run a business of this scale without technology. So technology is an important role. But then the most important aspect is the wastage. Running any business is tough.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot of complaints. Running a food business is very, very tough business. You would know this.
The highest amount of shutdown during COVID has been in the food
yes.
businesses.
But then running a fresh food business without adding chemicals and preservatives is the toughest job in the world.
Yeah.
I'm serious. Now, you will get a lot of customer complaints. The biggest issue is the wastage.
Yeah.
Look at the kind of products that we deal with. And Paradas come with 3-day shelf life.
Yeah.
Battery comes with 7-day shelf life.
Yeah.
You cannot, the biggest challenge is the wastage.
Yeah.
Biggest challenge is to manage your balance between stock out and wastage.
Yeah.
When we started, we were getting 90% wastage. In like 3 years, we were getting 25% wastage. There is no way for us to make this business profitable and scalable with that kind of wastage. That's when we started capturing store-wise, item-wise, day-wise, sales and wastage data for every store.
Yeah.
We now use this data to forecast the demand, to plan our procurement, plan our production for item load out from large truck to small trucks.
Yeah.
Predictions plays an extremely important role now. With that, we are able to control the wastage. Today, at an overall ID level, we are at less than 4% wastage. For a mature city, mature product, we will be running at less than 1% wastage. That is a gold standard even for large companies like Nestle's or HUL's for a food product. That we are able to get it with technology. So ID runs on IT. So by the way, to sell fresh,
yeah.
technology is the only way.
And how big is the IT team that you have in-house?
We have a combination of in-house and outsourced audit team.
Sure. And like you have 2,500 employees today, right?
Yes. So our IT team, in-house IT team will be what, around 10 member team now.
Okay.
But many of the things are outsourced and we work with the vendor partners.
And how many own trucks you have for supply chain?
600 now.
Across 5 cities?
Across this 75 cities that we operate.
75 cities that you operate.
Yeah.
And
in a market like Bangalore, we would have 80, 80, 85.
Yeah.
But in a market like Mangalore, we will have 5.
Yeah.
That's how we optimized.
Yeah. So today you are doing 600 crores in yearly revenue, 3,000 crores of valuation. What next, right? As we conclude this for ID Fresh, right? Because we are the entire country which looks up to food is looking for to you as an example, right? And you are setting example for the next generation of food companies, for example, World Truth and other companies.
So, stay true to the promise, right? We at ID, value the ethics and values, the most important aspect than anything else. And that's how we build the brand. Very strong value system. And once the founders and the management team believe in their value system, naturally your team will believe and the business that you run will have the strong value system. And the purity is our value system. When I say purity, it is not just the product. Product has to be pure for sure. But the way we run the business, it has to be pure. Right? So purity at its best is what we drive. And I hope that we will be able to lead that revolution, bringing purity as a theme of any food business.
And are you planning to go public anytime soon?
3 years.
That's the aim you have set for your team.
When we cross 1,000 crore run rate,
with
double digit EBITDA, we already, in fact, last month we had a double digit EBITDA.
Okay.
So EBITDA is taken care.
And what's the PAT of the company right now?
So we are a double digit EBITDA. So PAT, our depreciation will be very minimal. Yeah. So almost all of the EBITDA will fall through the, go through the, PAT or PBT.
And let's say what would be the year on year growth rate today?
So last year we had a 29% growth. In fact, our aspiration was to grow 40%. This year, our first few months was not that great, but October we did pretty well.
Good. And just want to, while concluding, a fantastic conversation. I learned a lot.
Thank you.
I want to share one example, right, of the purity that you had. I think in 2005, 2006, Taj Hotels gave you a very large order for a diamond snack by ID, right? And it was make or break for a company because you were hardly doing 1 crore of revenue.
It was in 2010 time.
2010, what was the revenue of the company?
We were doing, I think, around 3-4 crores of revenue at that time.
A year.
Right. With a break-even or a very small.
Hardly able to take salaries for yourself. And
forget about me taking salary. we were not able to pay salary to employees.
Okay.
Right. The salary payment to employees was delayed by almost 6 months.
And how big was the order that Taj was placing with you?
Almost, my 1 year revenue.
Wow. Like almost 4 crores of order.
It was not a one-time order. The regular order would have been. One-year order would have been close to my 1 year
and
revenue.
It was just to supply the diamond.
It was actually much profitable than my other businesses.
It was just to supply a bar snack.
It was actually, no, so we had this product called Diamond Cuts.
Yeah.
And the chef wanted to buy Diamond Cuts from me. And, I was an entrepreneur and very curious to know the use case of this product.
Yeah.
Because it was such a large order, right? Yeah. And my purpose was to learn from him and create a pitch deck.
Yes.
And go sell the same product to other large hotels across the world.
Yeah.
And make a lot of money. And that was the, reason for me to have a meeting with the chef.
Yeah.
And when I met chef, he told me about the Diamond Cuts product that we had. He said, this is a great product, very unique, and we want our customers to have the unique experience. We want to serve it as a bar snack. And that's the first time I heard the word called bar snack. I had no idea what was bar snack.
You never tasted alcohol?
No.
Never?
No. So, from that, I was confused. We discussed and debated with my co-founders.
Yeah.
On one side, we had a huge order, which was helping us to pay salary to employees on time. And take off my decent salary for ourselves and pay tuition fee for my son. And on the other side, we had a value system. The value system was conflicting with our business interest. That's when this tough decision had to be taken. So we came back and we took a final decision to reject this order. I called up the chef and I told him about our inability to serve his order. He shouted at us. He shouted at me. Accepted. I kept the phone down and I felt crying. I felt crying not because I lost his order.
Yeah.
I felt crying because the Almighty God gave us the courage to take the toughest decisions in the most difficult time in my life. Courage to take such tough decisions helped us to create the strong brand that we today. So what the important learning from here is, when you are in a dark tunnel, you will see some light. right? You think it is, you see the light at the end of the tunnel. Not always. Mostly, it's a train coming up on the side sometimes. You need to be careful.
And that would have been a defining moment for you.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Mustafa. Your journey is so inspirational. I can say for very few entrepreneurs, because you inspire the entire generation of kids who never had resources, never had food, and you have shown them that if you can do it, lakhs of Indian or maybe millions and crores of Indian kids who
don't. I was a below average student, right? And my dad was the only reason to educate, for me to get educated.
Yeah.
And my cousins had the courage to take this journey in the initial days. And of course I joined them. If we can create one of the largest fresh food business in the world, all of us can do wonders in the world.
Yeah.
But we all wait for tomorrow, thinking that we'll do it tomorrow. But tomorrow never comes.
Yeah.
So my suggestion or my message to all those entrepreneurs in making is, look around, identify problems and opportunities, solve it today. Don't wait for tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.